Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom. And Shabbat Shalom to those who are with us today. The name of the message is, Let a Person Examine Themself. Let a Person Examine Themself. And as it's always good and it's always advised to examine ourselves and to be growing in the faith, but at Passover time, it's a commandment. So I want to start in 1 Corinthians 11. Because this is, I think, a really important year. I mean, every year is important, and the last couple of years have been really earth-changing to the world. I mean, being locked down, and I remember giving the message on the having a Passover, like the first Passover that was thousands of years ago, where everyone was locked in their home and couldn't leave, having the death angel pass. And we've been going through this, and now things are changing somewhat. Maybe with COVID, they're loosening a little bit, at least for now. But you have war possibly coming and all different kinds of things. We have the Shemitah coming in just a little over 6 months' time. And it really, it's a time where we need to be getting ready, purifying ourselves for the days ahead. So it's a really, really important year. Let's start 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23. He says, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. I received from the Master what I delivered to you, that the Master Yeshua, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. This is talking about the last Passover that he had. And giving thanks, he broke and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken on behalf of you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, the cup also after supping, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Each time you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. So we know that the Passover is a memorial that our contract with Yahweh, you know, our covenant contract right now is year to year. And every Passover, we have to renew it by taking the symbols. He says, for each time you may eat this bread and drink this cup, you solemnly commemorate the death of our Master until his coming. And here it is almost 2,000 years later, and we're still doing it. So that whoever should eat this bread or drink the cup of Master Yahweh unworthily, that one will be guilty of the body and blood of Master Yahweh. So this is why we have to examine ourselves, because if you just haphazardly just take the Passover to take it, and you haven't been meditating and changing and repenting, as we see even says here, some people have been dying because of that. But let a man examine himself, and so eat of the bread, and let him drink of the cup. So we don't want to take it unworthily, but at times people have said that they don't want to take it, because everyone, of course, we're all unworthy, but that's not the point of it. The point is to examine ourselves and see where we need change so that we're not unworthy. For he drinking, eating and drinking unworthily, eats and drinks to his condemnation, not discerning the body of Master Yahweh. For this reason, many among you are sick and weak, and many sleep. Many even were dying in that time. For if we discerned ourselves, we would not be judged. And that's the problem sometimes, as we're going to see today. We don't want to discern ourselves, and we don't want anyone else discerning us either. But like he says, if we simply would look in our hearts and see where we need to change and repent, then we wouldn't have to be judged by Yahweh. He says, but being judged, we are corrected by the Master, that we not be condemned with the world. And we're in a very, very scary time now, because we're going into the last few years before the kingdom of Yahweh comes to the earth. And unfortunately for the world, that is a time of condemnation. There's no doubt about it, that the world who's rejecting Yahweh, and all these things are happening because the world as a whole have rejected him. And he's coming with judgment. And when Yeshua returns and he has the seven bowls in his hand, and he brings them out, he's bringing judgment to the world, but not to his people who are repenting and changing. So, like it says, if we discerned ourselves, we would not be judged. And this is what it's about. It all starts with Proverb 1 and verse 7, right? The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And that's what the world is missing today. First gateway to the kingdom, the fear of Yahweh. So, if we fear Yahweh, you know, then we will be doing this. We will be searching into our hearts, because we don't want to wind up getting sick or even dying and being resurrected and being in the resurrection of death, not the resurrection of life. So The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge, and that's the way people come to faith. They don't come by knowledge, they come by fear of Yahweh. They see it in their life, they start to change, and that fear brings a repentant spirit. But fools despise that. Fools despise instruction. And they don't want to know it, they don't want to be told. The Laodicean spirit, when the Laodicean era, most people are Laodicean that are out there today in the congregation or out of the congregation, I should say, believers or Christians, so-called Christians, or not, doesn't matter. It's the Laodicean era, so it's everywhere. Revelation 3, 14 to 22, I'm not going to read there. We've read it many times about the Laodicean, who is what? He thinks he's rich and increased with goods and need of nothing, and yet he's poor, he's blind, he's miserable, and he's naked. He has no covering. He's out there on his own, and he's doing his own thing. And because maybe he has money and he has all these electronical gadgets and he could do all this, he thinks he doesn't need Yahweh or his congregation. He thinks he's fine. So when Passover comes every year, he's not taking not just a couple of minutes before the ceremony, but taking weeks and even a month to seriously look in the Bible, look in our hearts, and look to change. No, he thinks he's doing great. He can see everything that's wrong in everybody else, but he can't see it in himself. So the Laodicean can't examine himself because he doesn't see his problem. It's that simple. He's blinded by the world, and he's blinded by his own self-righteousness. If we go to 2 Timothy 3, the scripture we go to a lot in these days now because we're living in this time, right? The Apostle Paul said, in the last days, disastrous times will be upon us, and here we are, welcome to it. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, braggarts, arrogant, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, wicked, without natural feeling, addicted to lust, slanderers, without self-control, savage, haters of good, traitors, hasty, boasters, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of Elohim. Like I said, many times we've gone over this in the last few years because you don't have to imagine anymore the world out there. This is the way the world is. But it's more than that because look at verse 5. Having a form of righteousness, but they deny the power of it, even turn away from these. So this isn't just talking about the world. This is talking about believers. This is talking about within the congregation. And I've said this to elders over the last couple of years. You know, I deal with a good 100 different situations every year that I have to deal with things in the congregation, sometimes with between elders, making judgments for leaders that ask. And so many times, you'll see one person saying white and one person saying black. And they're saying the total opposite. And I have to somehow try to figure out and judge what is the reality here. And, you know, what I've realized recently is, for the most part, you're thinking, well, both people are honest. Both people think that they're right, but there's just something wrong with their thinking that they're not seeing it right. Until recently that I realized, because we had a situation happen where somebody who was even a leader in the congregation wound up getting caught doing something, and then they lied about it. And not only did they lie about it, they tried, the person who actually had the evidence against them, they tried to say that that person was the one who did this, and they outwardly lied. Now later they came, they told the truth, and took up for it. But it was really shocking to me. It was shocking to me, not that a believer could sin, because we're all sinners and fall short of the glory of Yahweh. What was shocking to me is that a believer that would get caught in a sin would outwardly lie. And I guess it shouldn't be too shocking. It was shocking to me that I saw it in our congregation. It's not shocking it happens, because it's happened to me before. Over the years, I've had people, and some of them that were actually leaders in our congregation that left, that did the same exact thing. They lied about me exactly something that they were doing. And that's why, you know, Yahweh is the judge of all. And I know for some of these people, I wouldn't want to be them on judgment day, you know. And sometimes in areas, like in a foreign area, a whole congregation could have been split from somebody. And in one case, you know, it turned out later that it was found out that that this leader was actually an open homosexual. Can you imagine? And they're lying about other leaders, saying that, you know, thinks about them when they're the one. So this is where we're at. We're living 2 Timothy 3, not just in the world, but within the congregation. And that's why I say it's shocking, because I really believe, I said this the last time, and it's amazing that 7 years have gone by. We're going into the Shemitah again here in a few months. But I didn't plan on saying it in a sermon right before the Shemitah. But I said, if people don't take this serious and they don't change, I said, some of them won't be with us. And it actually happened. Some people were exposed and some people fell away, left the faith, and weren't with us after that. And I truly believe now, as we might be getting ready to go into the last 7 years, you know, I mean, this is like we're at the end of it. We're at the point where Yeshua's feet are going to be on that Mount of Olives soon, and Yahweh's kingdom is going to be on this earth, and 99% of the people that are alive today will be dead. And we're just in the beginning of sorrows now starting to see this. And you don't have to imagine much, you know, when you look at how many, you know, a billion people or 2 billion people that took that COVID shot, and now the truth is coming out in the news. It does change your DNA and what that thing is going to do. And already cancer rates are up 300%. So we're going to start seeing mass death on a scale that we've never seen before soon, very soon. And I mean within maybe the next couple of years or less. And that's not even including if world war comes. So again, this isn't about world events today. This is about really looking in our hearts and seeing, where do we stand with Yahweh? We don't want to be on that Laodicean side. We don't want to be looking out the window just saying, oh, wow, I'm glad I'm not part of that world. And then even, like I said, even within the congregation, there's times where people are openly sinning and openly lying and not taking responsibility for it. And it's shocking. But Yahweh's ready. You know, I mean, the death angel's ready to come with that sickle. And he's ready to cut this off. So the problem is in the Laodicean era that this is so normal that they don't even see it, you know. And if you look throughout the world, one of the saddest things in the world is when you see there's so much abuse in the world today. There's abuse of people, there's slavery, there's abuse of children, there's all kinds of abuse going on. And when you see somebody who's grown up in an abusive situation, as they get older, that's all they know. And unfortunately, like I said, because we are creatures of habit, many times people make the same mistakes that their parents did to them, people that maybe the parents beat them. And they say, oh, I'll never be like my parents. And then they grow up and they beat their child, you know, or someone the parents were alcoholic and they wanted to be an alcoholic. But you see it because we are creatures of habit. And I say this because when you look at the world today, it's always been unnormal after the Garden of Eden, because Satan became the God of this society that you see. So it's always been unnormal, but never like this. Never like this. If you're looking into 1880 in Little House on the Prairie, it was still unnormal. People weren't keeping Sabbath, and they weren't obeying the dietary laws, and they weren't doing all the normal things that should be done according to Scripture. But still, women wore dresses, you know, and men were men, and you were allowed to say him and her in pronouns. You know, today you can't. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. You know, gender reveal parties that you don't tell your child if he's male or female until he's 5 years old. Come on, you know? I mean, how stupid are people? I mean, literally stupid. And it's the society, it's Satan that has his demonic people that are sick people that are pushing this stuff, you know? And everything you see on cancel culture, everything in the media, you can't believe anything. Now, before you could probably believe half of what you saw in the media. Now you can't believe any of it. And probably 10% is true, because if it was all not true, then you would just believe the opposite of everything you see. But you can't, because you just don't know. You don't know what is true and what's not true. And you see it just like recently, this stuff coming up with Russia. You know, that you know, Putin is not a good person. He's a bad person, but all the things they're making up about the reason for why this came up and everything just is not true. So both sides are giving the propaganda. So where does the truth come? The truth doesn't come, you know, you're not going to get it in the media, the internet, TV, and in the environment that you live in. It's the most unnormal system that we've ever seen, and people are blinded by it. And that's why when we're talking about now repentance, you know, and change, wow, for new people coming from the world, where do you even start? Where do you start with that? Because You know, what is normal, even to normal people, isn't normal. And I've given this before as an example. Like, take a 16-year-old teenager, you know, who's living in Los Angeles. You know, what is normal to them? Normal life, you know, for over there. Reality TV, foul language, body piercing, tattoos, premarital sex, horrible rock music, you know, everything in life being likes and dislikes and ups and downs, regular use of alcohol and drugs, broken family, probably one parent, you know, families not eating together, not doing things together. And this is normal. That's what's normal in that society. That's what's normal out there. Like I said, gender reveal parties, you know, in school teaching all these bad things about race theory, critical race theory, and all. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. So where do you start when that's supposedly normal? And that's why I say, I hope as the people of Yahweh, the one thing we see is there has never been more of a time to come out of the world than now. You know, like I said, there might have been a time before where you could still go to school and live a good life and, you know, live in the country maybe and homeschool, and you could be kind of in the world but not of the world and still work in the world and make good money maybe and get a good house, but it's not like that anymore. And especially now with the green passports and all these other things, we see it, that Yahweh is giving us this gift of this little bit of time to get our life together and prepare, because we're just about at that time where there is time no more. We're just about there. And that's why I say this Passover is so important, not because of world events, because of us. Because we need to detox from this society. We need to detox from all the things that are going on up there. And it's just immodesty. You know, if you talk about modesty, right? Even go up to Christians, you know, people that are Sunday Christians, and say, yeah, we need to be modest. And they'll say, oh, yeah, I agree with you. And yet, what's modesty? You know, look in a Christian church. People, women wearing skirts that are, you know, barely below their waist. You know, men coming into services, you know, with cut-off shirts and baseball caps and all this other stuff. So it's subjective. You know, even something like modesty is subjective to the environment. But, you know, in the congregation, so is holiness, sanctification, and love. It's all subjective according to somebody's upbringing, somebody's environment, and what they believe. And these are things why we have to be looking at what Yahweh says about it, not what the environment around us. And we can't be feeling good because we're a little bit better, or maybe even a lot better, than our neighbor next door. Because it really doesn't matter how much better you are than the unconverted neighbor. What matters is, how do you compare to Yahweh and Yeshua? And I've said this before, you know, that years past getting ready and examining ourselves for Passover, you know, we would look at ourselves, and there's nothing wrong to look at yourself and say, am I better than last year? You know, is my relationship with Yahweh close to last year? And it's good. It's good because we should be examining ourselves to ourselves and see how we're growing. But really, we need to be examining ourselves to Yahweh and Yeshua and seeing, am I living up to their standard? Am I living up to the things that Scripture states? Genesis 6 and verse 5. Genesis 6 and verse 5. And this is what Yahweh says. He said it about the days of Noah, you know, going back before the flood. And what does it say in the end time? It'll be like the days of Noah. So what did Yahweh say? Yahweh saw that the evil of man was great on the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the day long. And Yahweh sighed with sorrow, and he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved to his heart. And Yahweh said, I will wipe off man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, from man to beast, to the creeping thing, and to the birds of the heaven. For I repent that I made them, right? And this is where we are. We're at the same point. Why do you think that Yahweh's coming back, that Yeshua's coming with judgment? Because exactly of this scripture coming about. And like I said, for so many Laodiceans who just couldn't get on board before, now, if you can't see it now, then, you know, you might as well just take a vacation and take the mark of the beast and lose your salvation. Because now we know for sure. Now we see it happening in the society. Now the the clock is already ticking. But praise Yahweh, he's giving us this little bit more time that we need to get our life together to come out of the society. And you have to figure out how to do it. You should be homeschooling your children. You know, you should be trying to work at home or bartering or doing something and not be working in the world anymore. It's just too evil to be out there. And because you won't be able to do it anyway, very, very soon. It could be a few months to a year or a couple of years. We don't know. But when the mark of the beast is implemented, you won't be able to work in the world. You won't be able to buy and sell unless you have the chip. So we need to be thinking about these things now. And if you're really going to repent, you have to see the world for what it really is. That's what repentance is. It's a total 180 degree change from what we see. 1 John 4. verse 7. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of Yahweh, and everyone who loves has been generated from Yahweh and knows Elohim. The one who does not love has not known Elohim, because Yahweh is love." So that's the foundation, but like I said, you know, it's subjective, the word, because what does it mean? Depending on your background, depending on the examples you've seen of love in your life or haven't seen of love in your life, is how much you're going to understand love and how much you're going to be able to do it. But that's why we have to look at the love of Yahweh, because that is real love. The love of Him that only wants good for people, that has no jealousy, that has no harbor bitter feelings, you know, and only wants the best. And that's the kind of love that we need to be looking for. 1 John 3 and verse 10, just going back one page. He says, "By this the children of Yahweh are distinguished from the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness and does not love his brother does not belong to Elohim." Pretty simple, right? "Because this is the message which you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one and killed his brother. And for what did he kill him? Because his works were evil, but those of his brother were righteous." Just like I was saying before, how people will lie even when they're caught. Even when they're caught, then not only will they sin, because everyone sins, but then they're caught and they lie about it. And then we'll falsely accuse somebody else, just like Cain and Abel, right? Why? "Because his works were evil, but those of his brother were righteous. So be not surprised, my brother, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. The one not loving his brother remains in death. Everyone hating his brother is a murderer, and you know that every murderer does not have everlasting life abiding in him. By this we have known his love toward us, because that one laid down his life for us, and on behalf of the brethren we ought to lay down our life. But whoever has worldly possessions and sees his brother in need and shuts up his mercy from him, how is the love of Elohim in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed or in truth." And here we are, we're in the day and age where we're building communities all over the world. We're trying to prepare those communities for Shemitah first now, and also for the days ahead. And are we giving our best? Are we giving our most? Are we collectively working together with each other and our other brothers and sisters, you know, or are we only selfishly thinking of what's best for us? Go to chapter 4, the next chapter there again, in verse 18 through 21. "There is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. And the one fearing has not been perfected in love. We love him because he loved us first." Always remember that. "If anyone says, 'I love Elohim,' and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one not loving his brother whom he has seen, how is he able to love Yahweh who he has not seen? And we have this commandment from him, that he who loves Elohim ought to also love his brother." That's the difference between the Philadelphian believer, right? Philadelphia means brotherly love, to the Laodicean believer. Laodicean is ruled by the people, out for himself, will do anything to protect himself, including lying and stealing and whatever else. So we're one body, and in a unnatural world of commercial Babylon, I know that's very hard for people to concept. And I know many people that come to faith in the congregation, they say that, like they come in, they see that our brethren are different. Overall, our brethren are loving and caring and serving and helping. And they don't see that in the world. And that's what it takes to come in. You have to get that worldliness out of yourself. Isaiah 55 in verse 6 says, "Seek Yahweh while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the man of vanity his thoughts. And let him return to Yahweh, and he will have mercy on him, and to our Elohim, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says Yahweh. For as the heavens are high from the earth, so my ways are high from your ways, and my thoughts from your thoughts." So Yahweh does think different. He doesn't think like man. He doesn't have self-righteousness and envy and jealousies and all these things that humans have because of the decisions that we made ourselves, starting in the Garden of Eden. And every human being from them has made the decision to go his own way instead of the way of Yahweh. And that's why, like I said, we have to examine ourselves now. We have to see, where am I veering off the wrong path? You know, where have I been affected by society, by my pride, by my self-righteousness? And like I said, this is a big, big Passover. This is a big, big Passover as we're having the Holy Spirit from 2015. Every year has been being poured out more. And I believe this year is going to be a major year for Shavuot and Yahweh's second Shavuot and the pouring of his Spirit. And that's why we really need to go into Passover with an open heart and an open mind and a heart and mind of repentance. Revelation 12 in verse 9. We go over this scripture a lot too, right? How Satan has deceived the whole world. The great dragon was cast out. The old serpent being called the devil and Satan. So there's no doubt who he is. He deceiving the whole inhabitable world was cast onto the earth. And his cherubs were cast out with him. And I believe this is the point we're at in prophecy right now. And if it's been this bad with Satan only giving us messages as the prince of the power of the airwaves, right? Through television, through internet, through radio, and whatever. Wow, think what's going to happen when he's physically on this earth and people can actually look at him and see him as he's manifesting his lies and his distortions. You know, and if everything is this distorted now, like they said, you haven't seen nothing yet. And a great voice in heaven which said, "Now has come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our Elohim and the dominion of his Messiah, because the accuser of our brethren is cast out, the one who accuses them day and night before Elohim." So this is the point that, can you imagine? Satan is accusing us. He's accusing Yahweh's people day and night. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that are accusers. And instead of looking into their own heart and seeing where they need to change, they want to be accusing other people because they want to deflect from the sin in their own life and they don't want to change. So how many people, you know, unfortunately, are serving Satan more than they're serving Yahweh? And like I said, as Passover is coming, we need to look at this. You know, what is our spirit? Is our spirit a spirit of encouragement, of uplifting, you know, of serving one another, loving the brethren, or is it one of gossip and accusing and accusations? And don't say an answer so quick for yourself, because, you know, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And the problem is, a lot of times, I think a lot of people are being deceived by Satan and they don't even know it. They don't know it because they're not staying close to Yahweh. They're not reading their Bible every day. They're not praying. They're not meditating. And whatever you focus on becomes most real. And they may think that they're doing the right thing, but they're not. Matthew 16 and verse 21, we'll see an example of this. None other than who? The Apostle Peter. Matthew 16 and verse 21. "From that time onward, Yeshua began to show to his disciples that it was necessary for him to go away to Jerusalem and to suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and to be killed and to be raised on the third day. And having taken him near, Peter began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, my master, that this should happen to you.'" Right? So what's happening here? Yeshua is getting ready to go to Jerusalem to have the whole purpose why he came to earth, to suffer and be beaten and die for the penalty of our sins, right? And Peter is rebuking him, saying, "Far be it that this doesn't happen." So is his attitude wrong on not wanting to see Yeshua hurt? He doesn't understand why Yeshua came to the earth. He doesn't understand it. And No, his heart may have been right, but the problem is the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So he thought he's doing the right thing, but what would have happened if Yeshua listened to him? Then the whole purpose Yeshua came would have never happened. In our sins, we'd still be in our sins right now. And look what happens. But turning, he, Yeshua, said to Peter, "Go behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. For you do not think on the things of Yahweh, but on the things of man." Wow. Wow. Is that heavy, right? Here it is. He's thinking, he's just trying to be encouraging. No, my master, and this is, yeah. Because the heart is deceitful. And he was allowing Satan to use him. Then Yeshua said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and let him bear his torture stake and let him follow me. For whoever may desire to save his life will lose it, but whoever may lose his life for my sake will find it. For what will a man be benefited if he should gain the whole world but forfeit his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" And we're living in that time now where I believe COVID has been a great test for all of us, right? Because if you couldn't lose a job over taking an injection that's possibly going to kill you and definitely change your DNA and manipulate, you know, the person that Elohim made you to be, then certainly you would take the mark of the beast. You know, if you wanted, because, you know, like us not being able to go to a supermarket, not being able to buy food, not being able, basically not even being able to go anywhere, you know, at least without a test, some places with a test, some with, even if you had the test, unless you had that COVID death shot, you weren't going to get into a lot of places, right? So I think it was a great test to really have us search our hearts to see where are we, our hearts. And whoever may look to save his life will lose it, but whoever may lose his life for Yeshua's sake will save it. And where was Peter's heart at that time? It was in the flesh. It was, "No, Master, we don't want you to leave." But what did Yeshua say in John? "Unless I go to you, the Comforter can't come." Unless Yeshua died to pay the penalty of our sins, and then it be accepted by Yahweh the Father, his sacrifice, the Holy Spirit would have never came to us, the Ruach HaKodesh. So a lot of times, you know, maybe you think your heart is right, but the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And if you're looking only in the flesh, wow, you are going to be deceived big time. And you see it, everything that happens, because everything is a deception, right? Even recently, I feel bad for people in Ukraine. I don't want anyone to die in Ukraine. But Ukraine is far from the model of democracy of the world. Give me a break. Ukraine is one of, if not the most corrupt nation in the world. And what they've been doing there, there's a lot of Nazis and white supremacists. Not everybody, there's a lot of good people there too. But I'm trying to say the country of Ukraine is not a model for democracy, which isn't of Yahweh anyway. But it's being portrayed that way. Why? Because Satan is the God of this world and the prince of power of the airways. And this is just like COVID, you know? Anything that came out on COVID was only positive for the death shot. Now all of a sudden they're starting to come out with all the reports of how many people really died, how many people got sick, how many things happened here. And it is, we are living in such a time of deception that while if you don't come out of that, if you don't come out of that society and get your nose in your Bible and be praying without ceasing, you will be deceived. You will be deceived. It's that simple, because the heart is deceitful above all things, and that's what Satan will do. He will play on your emotions. He'll play on your heart. He'll try to show you pictures. He'll try to show you things. And for most people, he's going to get them, because we know it. We know it from what's said here. So let's get into the answer here. Let's get into the answer, what we need to do this Passover if we really are going to get every spot and blemish out of our wedding garment for Yeshua. First thing is we have to recognize the problem. 1 John 1 and verse 8. 1 John 1 and verse 8 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous that he may forgive us the sins and may cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We say that we have not sinned. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us." So very clearly, everyone is a sinner. And you want to know something? We all make mistakes. We all sin. But Yahweh is so merciful and so forgiving. All he wants us to do is change, right? And you might have to make restitution. Maybe you stole something. And according to Scripture, you got to pay it back. You might have to pay 20% penalty, but so be it. So be it. You have to. It's a good thing. Restitution is a good thing. And taking responsibility when we do something wrong is a good thing. And, you know, not only Yahweh is merciful, but Yahweh's people are merciful. The world isn't merciful. The world is out there, social media and everything else. They're looking to pounce on you. They're waiting for you to make one mistake. And, you know, that's why all these people out there that are in Hollywood and media and all this other stuff, they wait for them to do one thing wrong and then they pound on them because that's the world. But that's not the kingdom of Yahweh. That's not Yahweh's people. Yahweh's people are merciful and they are forgiving and they are loving. And if somebody made a mistake or somebody did something wrong, if you just own up to it and you repent, then not only will Yahweh forgive you, but so will his people. Because his people are very forgiving that way. So the first thing we have to do, though, is we have to recognize the problem. Because if you don't recognize the problem and you don't see that there's sin in your life that has to be removed, then what's the point of the Passover? You're denying the whole reason why Yeshua came to earth. He came for every one of us. Every one of us is a sinner in need of his grace. So when, like it says here, when we say we have no sin, we're making him into a liar. And we're taking away the whole reason why he had to come. Right? Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of Yahweh. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of Yahweh. Romans 6:12. Then do not let sin reign in your mortal body to obey it in its lust. And that's the problem. Just like a cancer. If you don't get the cancer out, it's only going to grow. And if there's sin in your body, if there's reigning in your body, whether that's from anger, lust, whatever it can be, right? You have to get rid of that. You have to remove it. Like it says here, do not let sin reign in your mortal body to obey it with its lust. Because as long as it's there, who does it belong to? It belongs to Satan. And you are giving him authority to come into your life and to control you. So, you have to recognize the problem in order. That's the first thing. 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16, even look at what the Apostle Paul said. It is a trustworthy saying and worthy of all acceptance that Messiah Yeshua came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul is saying this? Now, I see his writings, right? One of the things that in the writings they say, you know what they said about Paul? Well, his writings are powerful, but his stature is little. You know, it's not much to see him. You're reading these writings and he sounds like this big man of faith, and then you see him and who knows? Maybe he was small, maybe he was bald, maybe, I don't know what he was. But they say that his the way he was in reality, in the flesh, was not like his writings, right? So I don't know what he was really like, but I know what he's saying here. He says, but for this reason, I receive mercy, that in me first Yeshua Messiah might show forth all patience, for an example to those being about to believe on him to everlasting life. Well, can you imagine what he's saying there? For this reason, I receive mercy, that in me first Yeshua might show forth all patience. Like he needed all the patience in the world in order to deal with the Apostle Paul. And he was, you know, one of the most powerful, faithful people in Scripture, in the New Testament, the Pradhanah Shah. So where are we? Where are we, right? So Paul grew in the Spirit because he realized his nature and it humbled him. Look at Paul before his conversion. Totally different person. But we can also change if we humble ourselves, if we see where we need to change, if we work on it, and it doesn't just happen. There's no pill to take, right? It doesn't just happen. You have to work on it. You have to work on it, and you have to work on it every day of your life. Galatians 5 and verse 24. Galatians 5 and verse 24 says, but the ones belonging to Messiah crucified the flesh with its passions and lusts. Let us therefore live by the Spirit and surrender to the Spirit. So the next point, point two, is surrender. First, you've got to recognize the problem, and then you've got to surrender yourself to Yahweh. Let us not be a vainglory that ridicules one another and envies one another. So, you have to surrender, and this can only come by humility through true repentance, which can only come by admitting your sin. So, this is Passover. If you're not humbled at Passover time, I don't know when you would be humbled. Because you think of Yeshua, who was the eternal Son of Yahweh, eternally lived with Yahweh, no beginning, no end, right? a spirit being, which means he was never hungry, never tired, never sick, never felt any pain or suffering. And to think that he, like it says in Philippians, he put that aside and came to the earth, not as a cherub or a messenger, but came to earth as a human being, and not just as a manifested as a person, but he manifested in a womb of a woman, which means he was a child, you know? He was a child. He lived 32, 33 years in a human body from infancy all the way up. Talk about humility, right? And the humility that it had to teach him as he went through everything in this world. And he did that for us. He did that for us to understand how we feel. So when we're praying to him, we understand, he understands what you're going through, no matter what you're going through. No matter whether it's a sickness, no matter whether it's an act of loneliness, no matter what it is, whatever you're going through, he went through it and he could understand it and he helps us to get through it. So we can only get this by surrender. We have to surrender and we have to become humble before him, admitting our weak state before Yahweh, surrendering fully to his Ruach HaKodesh and allowing it to change and transform us into something different, into his spirit, being like him. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, "Now I beseech you, brothers, through the name of our Master Yeshua Messiah, that you all say the same thing and there be no divisions among you, but you be united in the same mind and in the same judgment." Right? How can that be unless we surrender ourselves to the Spirit of Yahweh? Because there's one Spirit. There may be two beings, Yahweh the Father, Yeshua Yahweh the Son, but there's only one Spirit. There's one mind. There's one thought process. And unless we surrender our thought process, we don't want to be like Peter, you know, that oh, just because our heart is good, no, Master, let this never happen to you. And what did Yeshua say? Get thee behind me, Satan. No, we want to surrender our heart that is desperately wicked and defiled. And we want to get the fullness of the rock to be able to be united and one with Yahweh in all things. It can only come by surrender, as everybody has a different definition of love. So unless we surrender and get Yahweh's definition, it will never happen. Luke 18 in verse 9. And as the world is really falling apart around us, we really need to be humbling ourselves, because one of the most amazing miracles is that we're even here. That Yahweh has opened up our mind, that we don't have to be in a mind of falsehood and deception. But yet he opened up our mind to the truth. And we should be cherishing that every day of our life. Luke 18 and verse 9. "And he also spoke this parable to some of those relying on themselves, that they are righteous and despising the rest," right? This is where you got to get that mind of humility. "Two men went up into the sanctuary to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee was standing praying these things to himself, 'Elohim, I thank you that I am not as the rest of men, extortioners, covetous, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice in the week. I tithe all things, as many as I get.' And standing at a distance, the tax collector would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but smote on his breast, saying, 'Elohim, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I say to you, this one went down to his house having been justified rather than that one. For everyone exalting himself will be humbled, and the one humbling himself will be exalted." You know, when Yeshua returns, and right now we have eternal life in us through his Spirit, but at that point he'll give us immortality, which means that then you'll live forever. And that's why he's got to test us, because he can't give immortality to somebody who's not going to 100% surrender to him. And or he'd have, you know, instead of one saint and the devil, he'll have millions of saint and the devil. And this is why we really need to be humbled. We really need to see ourselves for what we are. And we need to see Yahweh and Yeshua for who they are and humble ourselves to him. Matthew 9 in verse 10. Matthew 9 in verse 10. It says, "And it happened as he reclined in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners having come, these were reclining with Yeshua and his disciples. And seeing the Pharisees said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? But Yeshua hearing, he said to them, the healthy are not in need of a doctor, but rather those who are sick. But going, learn what this is. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call righteous ones, but sinners to repentance, right? So this is what it's about. Like I said, all have fallen short of the glory of Yahweh. The Apostle Paul says this about himself. And if we can't be looking in our life and looking at ourselves and seeing where we're wrong, woe is us. And particularly if a brother or sister comes up to us trying to help us and share something that they see, we should be thanking them. Because if we're blinded the way that Peter was blinded to his own fault, and praise Yahweh through his Ruach, that a brother or sister that loves us is coming and sharing something that we need to hear, we should be thanking them with all our heart. Because if not, what would happen? That sin would still be in you. That cancer would still be there. You know? He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And like I say, you know, that the same way that you don't need a lot of arsenic to kill you. If you put just a tiny bit, you put a spoonful of arsenic in your cookie platter and you eat one of those cookies, you're going to die. It's the same with pride. You know, an ounce of pride will kill you just like an ounce of arsenic will kill you. And we have to get rid of all of it. And we have to 100% surrender. And that's why I say, to me, while one of the most dangerous things in the Laodicean era we're living in is when people say, I'll never follow a man. People who don't want to be part of a congregation, you know, and when you look, there's like several million people at least that consider themselves messianic, that believe in the commandments, that believe in Shabbat and believe in the holy days, and yet a very small fraction of that that have actually part of a congregation, part of a group, part of something bigger than themselves. And right there, it's got to tell you something's wrong there. Because Yahweh is a family. It's about growing as a family. It's about serving other people. It's not about me. It's not about the knowledge that's in the Bible. It's about humbling myself and growing and changing, you know, by dealing with other people. And that's what it comes down to. Colossians 1 and verse 24. Colossians 1 and verse 24. It says, and now rejoice in my sufferings on your behalf and fill up in my flesh the things lacking of the afflictions of Messiah on behalf of his body, which is the congregation, right? Yeshua is the head, we are the body, and we're all one. Of which I became a minister according to the stewardship of Elohim given to me for you, to preach the word of Elohim everywhere, even the mystery having been hidden from the ages and from the generations, but now is revealed to his saints. What is this mystery? Whom Elohim willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the nations, which is Messiah in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may cause every man to become perfect in Messiah Yeshua. And to this end, I also labor, struggling according to the working of him who works in me in power. Wow. That's the mystery. Yeshua in you. That Yahweh can take his ruach, take his mind, and put a piece of it in you, a piece in you, a piece in you, a piece in me. And that we can, if we surrender our life to him, and we surrender to his spirit, that we can all think the same way. We can all have the same definition of love and mercy and patience and kindness. That it's not an arbitrary state. We have the same spirit that Yeshua has. We have to embrace this. We have to surrender our free will of pride and selfishness and self-righteousness to receive the fullness of the set-apart spirit of Messiah. 1 Thessalonians 4. Excuse me. 1 Thessalonians 4 in verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 4. And this is the third point of preparing and examining ourselves before Passover. Is we have to be sanctified. We have to come out of the world. For the rest then, brothers, we beg you and we exhort in our Master Yeshua, even as you receive from us, how you ought to walk and to please Elohim, that you abound more. For you know what commands we gave you through the Master Yeshua. For this is the will of Elohim, your sanctification, for you to abstain from fornication. Each one of you to know to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, even as also the nations do, not knowing Elohim. Do not go beyond and to overreach his brother in the matter, because the avenger concerning all these is Elohim, even as we told you before and solemnly testified. For Yahweh did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness. Right? Kadosh. Therefore, the one that does an injustice does not wrong man, but Yahweh, even he giving his Holy Spirit to us. So this is what's important, and this is what I'm saying. Unless we come out of that vile world and we sanctify ourselves, then everything in your life and every definition in your life of holiness and love and all these things are all going to be arbitrary, because it's arbitrary to the world. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. It says, but we ought to thank Elohim always concerning you, brothers, beloved by Yahweh, because Elohim chose you from the beginning to salvation and sanctification of the Spirit through a true faith, to which he called you through our preaching, to be the glory of our Master Yeshua Messiah. So then, brothers, stand firm and strongly hold the commandments you were taught, whether by word or by our epistle. But may our Master himself, Yeshua Messiah, and our Elohim and Father, the one having loved us and having given everlasting comfort and good hope by grace, encourage your hearts, and may he establish you in every good word and work. Praise Yahweh for that. So that's the point of it, that he called us to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit through a true faith. And boy, you have to have faith to do this. You know, you have to have faith to be able to, you know, not take the mark of the beast when it means you're not going to be able to buy or sell or eat, you know, get medicine that you may need or whatever it may be. So we have to sanctify our lives from Satan's world. Romans 10 and verse 17. Romans 10 and verse 17. He says, then faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Elohim. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Elohim. And we should be in the word. Not only every day, but all day long, we should be in the Word. You know, we should be praying, we should be studying, we should be meditating, we should be fasting at times when we need it. But we have to saturate ourselves daily with prayer, study, fasting, and meditation. Because what you focus on becomes most real to you. And the Word of Yahweh shouldn't be a 10-minute little ritual every day just to read, you know, a few sentences of Scripture. You're never going to change that way. Your mind is a master computer, and what are you uploading to it daily? What is going into your mind? What is most real to you, right? Is it something on TV? Is it something on social media? Is it something that, you know, you're watching? Or is it the Word of Yahweh? Verse 18, he says, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, rather, into all the earth. Their voice went out to the ends of the world, their words. But I say, did Israel not know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by a non-nation, by an unwise nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those not seeking me. I became known to those not inquiring after me. But what does he say to Israel? This is talking about the good news going out to all the world, to the nations, right? But what does he say to Israel? All the day I stretched my hand to a disobeying and contradicting people. Wow. And this should be scary to us to think, because Yahweh loved Israel more than anything. He still does. And he's still working with them, as we know. And yet, at the same rate, Israel, the people, and Israel, the nation, has rejected him from the beginning. They've rejected him, rejected him, rejected him. And he's been a loving and compassionate father, always coming back to them. But we don't want to be that way. We don't want to be rejecting Yahweh in our life. We don't want to be rejecting him in what we do. So, you got to get yourself to take action. Israel heard the truth, and it didn't help them whatsoever. Right? They heard the truth. They had the prophets. They had Yeshua. They had everything. And it didn't help them because they had a hardened heart of disobedience and they didn't want to admit their guilt and they didn't want to change. So we have to get ourselves to take action, not to be like that. Romans 2 and verse 13 says, "For not the hearers of the Torah or righteous with Elohim, but the doers of the Torah shall be justified." So it's not a matter of just hearing it. It's a matter of doing it. It's a matter of practicing it and putting it in our life. And that's really what the Bible school has been about. You know, I've been doing the Bible school now around 17, 18 years, something like that. And that's really what it is. It's about getting people to understand how to change to do these things. How to understand themselves and how to get them to change. So, like I said, we want to compare ourselves. It's nothing wrong to see how we're doing better than last year, but we really want to compare ourselves to Yahweh and Yeshua. We want to compare ourselves to His Word. We want to see where we're falling short. And it's not to discourage us, but to encourage us. Because to know wherever we're falling short, His Spirit will help us. You know, that's the great part about it. You're not doing it on your own. It's not about you. It's about what Yahweh's Spirit can do if you just move to the side. Because His Spirit can do all things. 1 John 3 and verse 1. It says, "See what manner of love the Father has given us, that we may be called sons or children of Yahweh, who made us. For this reason the world does not know us, because it did not know Him," right? And as time is going on, we're seeing even more now that the world doesn't know us because we're totally different than what they are. "Beloved, now we are the sons or children of Yahweh, and it was not yet revealed what we shall be. But we know that if He is revealed, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone having this hope on Him purifies himself, even as that one is pure." Wow, can you imagine? This is our hope, to be like Him. You know, we're made in Yahweh's image, right? We're made in we look like Him. Yahweh has eyes and a mouth and ears and hands. But now we're going to be like Him in character, right? And that's what we're doing. We're growing into that. And that's why I believe really that I believe this Passover is another marker. I believe it's another starting point, you know. And this is the greatest promise that Yahweh can give us. That when Yeshua returns, we're going to shed these earthly bodies and we're going to be just like Him. We're going to be a spirit being. But in the meantime, right, if we don't change in mind, if we don't surrender and we're not building up the mind of Messiah, if we're not growing in those nine fruits of the Spirit, if we're not denying ourselves every single day and getting rid of this self-righteousness, getting rid of this spirit of jealousy and spirit of discontent, and we're not going from victor to victory, right? From victim to victor, rather. Victim to victor. If we want to play the victor, it doesn't help you anyway. It doesn't make you feel any better. But we want to be victorious. We want to be victorious in Him. And it should give us such peace and encouragement for the great transformation that's taking place in us. But it doesn't just happen that one moment when Yeshua returns. It should be happening every day of our life now. Okay? Maybe at the moment He returns, we shed these bodies. But the transformation is taking place from the day you're baptized, from the day that seed of the Holy Spirit is implanted in you. And just like any seed needs to be watered and fertilized and sometimes weeded, get those weeds out of your life, those bad things, right? But it's going to grow and grow and grow until the point where it's ready to bear the fruit. And that's where we are now. Matthew 5 and verse 48 says, "Therefore you become perfect or complete as your Father in heaven is complete." That's what we're doing now. That's the great part. That's the transformation. So it's not a negative message. You know, when we look at ourselves and we see that we're sinners and we see how we've fallen from the glory of Yahweh, but it's a message of restoration. And that's what Passover is about. Passover is about forgiveness and restoration. And it's about growing into the mind of Messiah. And it's about growing and being more like Him. And like I said, if we don't have Passover, then we don't have the Feast of First Fruit, which means the resurrection. And without the resurrection, we're still in our sins. And without that Feast of First Fruit, right, That's also the count to Shavuot, where the Holy Spirit is given. So, excuse me, this is an important cycle. It's an important cycle, and it's an important year. And we really, you have to soak it in. Soak it in like a sponge. You know, meditate on these things. Because your human nature is not just going to go away. You have to work on it every day. You have to surrender to the Spirit of Yahweh, and you have to have a plan of action for that. It's not just going to happen on its own. Searching deepness of our soul to get all sin out, every spot and wrinkle in our wedding garment. And we have to realize that every time we sin, every time we compromise, we put Yeshua back on the tree of crucifixion. And we weaken our spiritual state, right? Think of it like a bank account. And you have all this money in a book, you know, in your bank book. Every time you sin, you're putting Yeshua back on the tree of crucifixion and you're pulling from your spiritual bank account. And you're weakening your spiritual state. We need to be focused. And like I said, we have to be surrendering to Yahweh daily. Stating as Yeshua did, not my will be done, but your will be done. So I want to ask, are you closer to Yahweh and Yeshua this year than last year? You know, write this question down for yourself so that you can meditate on it and think about it. Are you closer to Yahweh and Yeshua this year than you were last year? Do you have a better, more in-depth relationship with Yahweh and Yeshua than you did last year? Are you more dedicated to Yahweh's end-time work from Jerusalem than you were last year? Are you excited and are you involved in the work of Yahweh? Are you active in it? The Matthew 24 project. And praying for myself and the other elders that are actively out there bringing the good news worldwide. Are you actively praying for all the new brethren that are joining us? And all the brethren that have been suffering through trials. You know, this has been a tough year in a lot of different ways. A lot of different ways. We have to remember we have to love our neighbor as ourselves. We have to stick together. We have to band together. We have to be intervening for each other, you know, in prayer to Yahweh because it really, really helps. And the one thing is, although we're seeing more trials of brethren, we're also seeing more miracles. I mean, we are seeing miracles that may have not even been done since the first century, but there are more miracles that are happening, healings, and amazing things. So, are you ready to take the Passover? If not, there's still time to repent and change and make sure that this year you will not take Yeshua's Passover unworthily. It's an important year. The Shemitah is coming, and we really make this the most meaningful Passover that you ever had in your life. We'll be praying for you all at the Passover we're having in the wilderness. It's going to be an exciting time, and we will put, Yahweh willing, messages online during the holy days and the Sabbath. But really take the time that you have. It's not so much left now, but take this last time, get ready, and really, really make this the best Passover of your life. Yahweh bless. Shabbat Shalom.